Welcome to the Apartment Investor Pro podcast, where we talk about how to be a more successful multifamily investor with a focus on using technology to boost your business. And now your host, Todd Heitner.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Apartment Investor Pro podcast. Today we'll hear from Neil Bala. We'll be talking about how to choose the best cities to invest in apartments. I brought Neil on because of his data-driven approach to analyzing cities to invest in multifamily properties. In fact, Neil is often called the mad scientist of multifamily. Neil treats his over $250 million multifamily portfolio as an ongoing experiment in efficiency and optimization. Neil lives by two mantras. His first mantra is that we can only manage what we can measure. His second mantra is that data beats gut feel by a million miles. These mantras and a dozen other disruptive beliefs drive profit for his over 300 investors. Today, Neil will be talking about the 5 most important numbers to look at when you're choosing a city to invest in. So let's get right into the interview. All right. So Neil, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I know, you know, lots of people want to know, how do I decide what city to invest in apartments? And I know you're all about the science behind this and analyzing the data to make good investment decisions. So could you tell us about your approach and how you choose cities to invest in?
Sure. Just a little bit about myself. I'm a reformed technologist, so that, you know, data science background, research background. And I got into real estate to invest my own money. And when I was doing it, I was looking around to see, you know, whether there were clear templates that existed for how to find the best cities to invest in and how to find the best neighborhoods to invest in. And I found them, but they were really expensive. And I realized that people had to pay a great deal of money for these. So eventually I said, you know, I think some of the things that they're doing are really available in the public domain. So they're just taking existing data and putting it together and you know, playing with it and then charging a very large amount of money for it. And what if I could build a template that was free and was forever meant to be free that other people could improve as well? So I would give the toolkit to people and then they would do whatever they wanted with it. Hopefully they wouldn't charge other people because the goal was to keep it free. And so it took a number of years to kind of develop a template. And then eventually I realized that it wasn't enough to just talk about cities, that you had to talk about cities and neighborhoods both, because all great cities have, you know, horrible neighborhoods. Like Phoenix downtown is a phenomenal place to invest in, but a mile and a half away is the Phoenix jail, right? The prison. And that area, you do not want to be there after 5 o'clock in the evening, right? So all kinds of bad could happen to you if you're there in the evening. So I realized there wasn't just cities, you had to find the best neighborhood. So the initial set of metrics that I built were 5 metrics for how to figure out if a city is a good place to invest in for a 5-year, 10-year run. And keep in mind, all of my metrics are based on a minimum hold of 2 to 3 years, because if you want to do a 12-month flip or a 9-month flip or a 6-month flip, then you're using a different set of metrics. You're looking at the city's heat as opposed to looking at its fundamentals, right? So that's a different methodology, and I don't get into that. You know, I'm more of a buy and hold person. I'm not saying 5 or 10 year buy and holds, but at least 2 years. So I built those 5 metrics for cities, and then I built 5 for neighborhoods. So we'll talk as much as we can within the time frame of this podcast. I know this is a short podcast, about those. So after thousands of hours of looking at data for hundreds of cities in the United States, here are the 5 things that appear to directly impact your pocketbook. These are the things that make the biggest impact. And, you know, I tried lots and lots of different metrics. People ask me all the time, why don't you have this metrics? Why don't you have schools in there? And the answer is, what I found was that if I used metric A, and then I looked at metric B, and then sometimes I would take out metric B, like schools, and I would end up with the same results. So then I said, metric B is good, but metric A has the same meaning, has the same benefit. So I'm not going to, you know, plug another unnecessary metric and make it easy. Because my goal was that I didn't want a black box. I wanted something that was simple enough that people understood. You know how in the stock market, they have these algorithms that are so freaking complex that only the guy that built them can understand them, right? I wanted something that was straightforward that people actually understood. But also I wanted to be able to look at a property in a particular city and be able to measure all of these within 10 minutes. Because I found that if I built something that took hours to do, people wouldn't do it. And then they would go back to their gut feel, and data beats gut feel by a million miles. right? So it had to be simple. So I stuck with 10 metrics, 5 for neighborhoods, 5 for cities. And basically each metric takes roughly 1 minute to do. So, you know, in 10 minutes, you can basically say, this building is the most awesome one I've ever looked at, or it's the shittiest one I've ever looked at, or something in between, right? And the other part before I get into the metrics is to understand is, you're not trying to get all 10 of them right. You're not trying to get 10 checkboxes. You're trying to, in your investment area and within your scope, trying to get as many checkboxes as possible, right? So something that has 7 checkboxes is better than something that has 5, right? But what we're not saying is, well, it only has 7 out of 10, so you can't invest in it. That is not the intent. The intent is to basically be able to measure different properties that are coming to you and say, which one's better, yeah, right? That was the goal. So you don't have to be very sticky about it. And I'm not either. I will often take, you know, a city that has 4 checkboxes out of 5, you know, instead of a city that has 5, but is really expensive. Okay. So back to the metrics, right? So let's first talk about the city metrics. And there's 5 city metrics. And one of them, the last one, jobs, is a higher weightage. So we'll leave that one to the last. The first one is population growth. What I found was that if I wanted my rents to grow, and really in rental real estate, you know, appreciation comes from rent growth, right? You get higher rents, you make more cash flow, but then you also make more appreciation because the next guy likes it, right? So you get rent growth. Rent growth gives you both cash flow and appreciation together. And where does that appreciation come from? It comes from shortage, from scarcity. And the best way to create scarcity in the market is to have population growth. Because if there's more people coming into that market, some portion of them have enough money to buy a home, they're going to compete with you as a landlord, and they're going to take properties that would have been rented out of the marketplace, which allows you to jack up your rents because there's less rental properties in the marketplace, right? So, you know, population growth is very important. And so what I found was that using Google, you can type in population, you know, population space, the name of whatever city you're looking into. So let's say you're looking into Columbus, Ohio, you type in population space, Columbus, Ohio, and Google gives you a very nice graph. And this graph is very interesting. What I want you to do is using a mouse, you know, mouse over the population number for the year 2000, and then mouse over the latest number. So right now it's 2017, and you might say, wait a minute, it's 2020. You know, that's 3 years old. Why would I want to look at that data? My answer is, firstly, that's the free data that you have access to. If you want to pay thousands of dollars for tools, do that. But what I found was the data that was 3 years old still pointed me in exactly the same direction as the data that costs thousands of dollars and is 2020 data. So cities don't change over years, they change over decades. So it's okay to use older data. If you're super nitpicky about it, you know, buy housingalerts.net or localmarketmonitor.com, buy those multi-thousand dollar subscriptions and you'll end up in the same place. So bottom line, population growth, mouse over 2000, mouse over the latest data number, and you're trying to see a delta between those two numbers that's about 21.5%. And as you can imagine, this number is like 21.5%. How am I going to remember that? I'm going to give you an Excel spreadsheet, so it'll have all this information in there. So that delta of 21.5% of population growth over, let's say, 17 or 18 years is really the minimum that you want to see, because those cities, people are competing for fixed assets like real estate. We're not creating any more land, right? But we're creating more people all the time. So you want to go to places where there's a lot of those people. And then the second metric takes from the first. If there's a lot of population growth, there's going to be a lot of income growth. So now the income numbers are on a website called city-data.com. That's city-data.com. Go in there, plug in your city, and then scroll down about 6 inches, and you'll find that there's a line that says household income in the year 2000 was this. And then household income in the latest year, which right now I think you have 2017 or 18 data, is that. And what I want you to do again is use my Excel spreadsheet, which I'm going to give you, to compare those two numbers together. And now you want something that is about 32%. So in that same time frame. So you want your income growth to be faster than your population growth. Why? Because if income growth is outstripping your population growth, what's happening is there's demand for stuff like real estate. So 32% growth over that same 16, 17 year time frame, and city data, one line, two numbers, plug it into my Excel spreadsheet, get a thumbs up, get a thumbs down, move on, right? And the third one is related to the first two, which is housing prices, right? So about 1 inch below that city-data page that you're looking at for whatever city that you're putting in, there's another line, and it says median household or condo value. And once again, it has a 2000 number, and it has the latest year number. Those two numbers, you want them to be about 42% apart. Now, remember, these numbers are all going to change next year. They're going to get higher. Next year, it might be 44%, or it might be lower because of the coronavirus-related recession. I might drop the numbers, right? And you can get that data from me for free. We don't have a product related to this. It's meant to be given away for free. So next year, you can come to my website and look at what we are doing and take the updated Excel spreadsheet, which has all these formulas. So you see a 42% growth in income level. That makes a lot of sense now. People's incomes are growing so they can keep paying more rent every year. And the higher your rent grows, the more your cash flow and the more your appreciation, right? The appreciation really comes from that cash flow. So if your cash flow is going down, your appreciation is not going to be below zero. So that's the third number.
Let's pause briefly to thank our sponsors. When we come back, Neil will share with us the last two numbers you need to look at in choosing a city to invest in apartments.
Do you have a website that gives you credibility and captures leads? ApartmentsInvestorPro.com can help you get a professional website today. Typically, building a professional website can be a real pain, taking thousands of dollars and months of your time. One syndicator said it took him 10 months on his own. Another had to go through three different companies before getting something usable. ApartmentsInvestorPro.com makes it quick and painless. All the design and content is already created. With 15 years of experience building websites for investors, ApartmentsInvestorPro.com gives you peace of mind and lets you focus your time on finding deals and investors. These powerful websites capture contact information from your potential investors. You can even automate the follow-up process. No more letting good investor leads fall through the cracks. Save 10% on your website by going to apartmentinvestorpro.com and using coupon code PODCAST.
The fourth number I found was crime. You want crime to be reducing and you want it to be below a certain threshold. Reducing and below a certain threshold. So same CD-data page. Scroll down like another 2 or 3 feet and you'll come across a crime table. It's a big crime table. Ignore the whole table. At the bottom, there's a blue line. The only line that in the crime table that's blue colored. You want to make sure that the city that you're investing in, the number on the left is much higher than the number on the right because the newest number is the number on the right. Got it? So from left to right, if the numbers are getting smaller, guess what's happening? Crime is falling. And you want to invest in a city where crime is falling because if it's been falling, it'll probably keep falling. And then the last thing is you want the number on the far right, the newest number, which is probably a 2018 number in that table, to be below 500, right? You don't want to invest in cities where crime is very high because when recessions happen, we just got into a recession this month, the crime doubles or triples, right? So you know, if you're starting from a low base of crime like Boise, Idaho, which is the lowest in the US, that number is 214. So it's going to double or triple in Boise over a recession, but it'll go up to 400 or 500. Whereas if you have a city like Memphis, which is at 850 now, when a recession starts, Memphis's number is going to go to 2200, right? And so imagine the difference between those two and imagine the amount of trouble you're going to have in the middle of that recession with a property in Memphis compared to a property in Boise. Now, there's lots of great places to invest in Memphis. It's a great city. But I think that speaking purely from a numbers-based perspective, you can still make that measurement happen. It's fair to say that Boise is much safer than Memphis, even though there's many great places to invest in Memphis. So that's number four. And the final one is jobs. The job data is the only one that you notice that I'm not looking at 10 years and 15 years. Because the job data is instant gratification data. What's interesting is we're recording this on April 21st, 2020. And I've been teaching this for 4 years and nowhere has that final metric proven itself to be more important than this month. So the United States went from having 3.5% unemployment last month to God only knows what number this month. Nobody even knows, but it's some astonishingly high number because 23 million people have just filed for unemployment. And you immediately see that the entire real estate market froze, right? It froze. I mean, there is no real estate market right now. There's no transactions going on. It just froze because of jobs. If you can't have your head wrapped around jobs, you can't do real estate and make profit. So these numbers are on a specific URL, and that URL is very long, so I'm going to mention it here, but I'm going to tell you about that Excel spreadsheet. The URL's in there. It's departmentofnumbers.com/employment/metros. This is my favorite freaking page on the whole internet. It is so powerful. You go to this page, it is the ugliest page that you can imagine. It's a table, but the beauty of the table is in the numbers, not in the way that it looks. It doesn't have any fancy graphs or maps. So what you're going to have to do is every month go to this page, copy the data into Excel, and then name it whatever that month is, you know, April 2020, May 2020. Make sure you look at it at least 3 or 4 times. On the right, on this page, the final column on the right is the percent job growth in the last 12 months. You want that number to be higher than 2% in the city that you're investing. There's hundreds of cities in the list. So there's plenty of cities that are above 2%, okay? There's also plenty of cities above 3%. So, and there's city above 4, and there's cities above 5. 5 is very rare. And right now, I'm sure this month, there's nothing like that. But obviously, over the next few months, things will correct. So what I like to tell people is 2% is a good city to invest in. 3%, you're really, really happy because you're going to make a lot of money. At 4%, you're buying champagne bottles. At 5%, you're dancing naked in the street with the champagne bottles, right? So, I mean, if you can get into a 5% city at a reasonable price, nothing like it. Obviously, they tend to be expensive, but there's cities that nobody's heard of that are consistently above 4. One of them, St. George, Utah. Always about 4%, right? So it's a haven. Utahns are rich. They buy second homes there. There's education. There's a large university, Dixie State. There's, Zion National Park is 20 minutes away. So 3 million people show up there. Not right now, but 3 million people normally show up there to enjoy themselves. So there's a lot of expensive sporting good places and a lot of outdoor sports in the area. It's beautiful, gorgeous looking place. Lots of tourism, lots of Airbnb. So those kinds of places, growth rates of 4%, 4.5% are not unusual. So you benefit from that. So I tell people, the point of my system is to make you a lazy investor. You're going to be one, a lazy son of a that's going to basically go in and check all of these things off and find these cities that nobody knows about, like Dalton, Georgia. Who the heck has heard of Dalton, Georgia, right? But that's the whole point. You know about Dalton, Georgia. Other people don't, but Dalton, Georgia has a phenomenal place to invest in, right? I have a property there with 154 units. And in the middle of coronavirus, I have $2,000 of delinquency on 154 units. Why? Because the tenants are terrified that they can't find any other place to go to. If I kick them out, they can't come back, right? So those kinds of places are marvelous to invest in. St. George is like that. The city of Washington, Utah, which is part of the St. George Metro, has the lowest vacancy rate in the United States, right? So nobody wants to leave because they can't find any other place. So these metrics get you to the point where you can make these lazy decisions. Now, having said this, you go out and buy a crap property, that's on you, right? That's on you, absolutely on you. So those are 5 metrics. These are the 5 metrics of picking cities. And then there's 5 metrics of picking neighborhoods. There's no way that I could possibly fit in that into, you know, a podcast this short. So here's what I've done. So you have 2 choices. One, go to www.multifamilyu.com. That's multifamily followed by the letter u.com. Click on the learn button at the top. And there is a 3-hour video course. And you can, you know, in that course, you can see me for 3 hours, but you can also see my screen on the top left. So you can, you know, I'm switching back and forth between my video and the screen. And I'm actually showing you every part of this. And then I'm giving you a set of rules, which is a PowerPoint deck with 10 slides, 10 rules. And then I'm giving you an Excel spreadsheet, which takes those 10 rules and gives you, you know, entry points. So you make an entry and gives you a thumbs up or gives you a thumbs down using color. It says, yeah, this is a good thing or a bad thing, that sort of thing. So the Excel spreadsheet, the Word document, and then the neighborhood metrics, which we obviously in this podcast haven't had time to teach. They're similar, but you're measuring it at a neighborhood level, right? So some of the metrics are the same. Others are unique, like poverty level and ethnic mix. You don't look at ethnic mix at a city level, but you want a very nice ethnic mix at a neighborhood level. You don't want a neighborhood that's all African American, all white, or all Chinese, because now you're marketing, you're going to end up spending 3 times as much money. So you want all of these people to like living there. You want a very nice ethnic mix, so now you can market to a whole bunch of people, right, and a whole bunch of audiences. So those things only matter at a neighborhood level. The city level doesn't matter. So all 10 of these metrics are at multifamilyu.com, click the learn button, and you'll get access to it. And the course is about me talking and showing, you know, that I'm constantly doing demos for about 2.5 to 3 hours. It goes into great depth. There's advanced modules that talk about what is known as the path of progress. The most powerful concept in all of real estate when you're trying to make money is knowing what a path of progress is. And people talk about it a lot, Todd, but nobody has ever actually defined the path of progress. So here's what the path of progress is. It is a river of jobs that flows through every city in America. And like any other river, it flows in a certain direction and then it turns and then doubles back on itself and then goes off in another direction. And then there's this little tributary that goes off on its own. That's a bunch of little jobs. And what's interesting is I've never found a city where the path of progress was more than 10, 15% of the city. It's always 5, 10, 15% of the city. And you don't typically want to invest inside the path of progress because you end up paying too much. Mm-hmm. But you want to invest directly in front of it or directly to the side of it. So investing 1 mile to the side of path of progress as it flows is good. Or investing a mile in front of it when it's flowing in that direction, right, is good. So this river of jobs is the most powerful concept, but nobody had figured out how to map it over time. People know how to say, here's where the jobs are in Dallas, right? But do they know how to say, here's where the jobs were in Dallas 1 year ago, here's where they were 6 months ago, here's where they are today? The answer is the City Data website has an exact methodology to figure out the flow of the river, right? But it requires a lot of work. It's not something that you can get in 10 minutes. It's going to take you several hours to figure out the flow for a city. But imagine being able to invest directly in front of the river of jobs, right? 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles away. That would be phenomenal. I mean, in 10 years, you could end up with 10x the money, right? And you never want to sell those units because, you know, the path of jobs is going to flow over your property, right? So that becomes a completely different kind of area once that happens. So you'd want to stick with that property forever because you'd make 20, 30% annualized. So that concept is taught in that course because it's a separate concept. It's a separate module. It takes about 20 minutes. Now, if you're wondering, you know, is there, do I have to buy anything? No. Do you have to, you know, is there an upsell in that course? Will I tell you, you know, oh, go here, buy my $200 a month subscription? Nothing like that. Nobody is going to tell you any of those things. And so people ask me, why do you do this? What's your in? My in is very simple. By the time you finish the course, you're going to see its power. I bought $260 million of real estate using this methodology. And there's plenty of people who realize, damn, this is a lot of work because this tells me where to invest, but I still have to go and do all the due diligence and find all the crap properties and do all the walkthroughs and then still manage them and do the tenants and the toilets. Or I see what Neil's doing. I like it. I believe in it. I'm just going to invest with him. That's our in. We have hundreds and hundreds of investors that are data-driven investors. Lots of them are geeks. We're in Silicon Valley, by the way, so best place in the world to have geek investors invested with you that have lots of money. And so that's our in. That's all we do. And so we give the system away. You know, lots and lots of people send me an email 3 years after they've seen it saying, hey, I've made lots of money. You know, I've always felt guilty that I never gave any money to you. I just went off and invested and have benefited. And then I always send them an email back saying, don't worry, I'm making plenty of money from this system. So don't feel guilty about it. It wasn't you, it was somebody else. But no reason to worry. So we invite people to say, this is our methodology. And by the way, our methodology is not 10 metrics. Internally, we use dozens of metrics, which do not make sense for a individual investor to look at. But I'm buying or building $50 million buildings, right? So it makes sense to look at other more complex metrics, such as, you know, neighborhood supply and absorption rates and things like that, which you wouldn't care about less, and you shouldn't. But if you're building a $50 million building, you have to look at those as well. But the foundation of everything we do is still these 10 metrics. When an incoming property comes into us and we're looking to buy it, we still use the same exact system to filter it, right? No underwriter in our company is ever going to underwrite a property until we've already filtered it through the same system. Because fundamentally, what can be more important than jobs and incomes and population growth and home price growth and crime? What can possibly be more important than that? These are the mega factors that control real estate in the US, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, I think it's a complete system. It works. Disclaimer, you know, I'm not a professional data scientist. I'm an amateur data scientist. I give you what I come up with. you're still going to make your own mistakes. You're still going to buy shitty properties, but I think that your overall hit rate is going to be better with this product. And so that's it.
Awesome. That's powerful stuff. So thanks so much for sharing that. That's I know those tools will give people a huge, huge advantage trying to analyze a city. So thank you for sharing that. And I know you mentioned your website, Multifamily U. Is that the best way for people to connect with you?
Yes, we do a massive number of data-driven webinars. For example, for COVID, we do a town hall every week, either on a weekday or a Saturday. And so we alternate back and forth. And each week, it's a different theme. So the impact of COVID on X. So one day it's multifamily, the next day it's syndication, the next day it's single family, the next day it's senior housing, then student housing, right? So we're doing different concepts right now because that's what people want to hear about that are in real estate or interest in real estate. And then when, you know, we don't have COVID-19 in our lives, we do webinars on pertinent topics of different parts of real estate. We're looking at industrial. We think industrial, by the way, is a phenomenal asset class because America has realized that having 4 days worth of toilet paper in the supply chain was a really bad idea. Right? So obviously our supply chain has to change now, where, you know, our healthcare supply chain has to change. You know, we can't have 4 days of PPE in the United States. I mean, that was just, you know, you look at it now and in hindsight, you go, who the f*** came up with this idea that we should only have 4 days worth of everything, right? So to me, I think that the way we do things in America is going to change. And that 4 days is going to go to like something more reasonable, like 15 days. Right? You can't do 15 days worth of food, but you can do 15 days of everything else. And I think that when we do that, the industrial needs, the logistics needs, the flex demand is going to go through the roof. Amazon already can't hire enough people. I think they've hired, 250,000 people in just the last 4 weeks, right? So obviously some of those people are not going to get unhired. They're going to stay hired with Amazon at this new level of e-commerce usage. So we think industrial is phenomenal. So we do webinars about that as well. And so that knowledge you can gain at multifamilyu.com. And once again, these are pitchless enterprises. All we do is tell people, here's our data, here's our philosophy, and some of you will invest with us, and we're happy with that.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks so much. We really appreciate you sharing all that information.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Todd.
Okay, All right, well, thanks a lot, and have a good day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Apartment Investor Pro podcast. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episodes. Also, visit our website at apartmentinvestorpro.com and connect with us.